Let's turn our Bibles today to the book of Psalms, chapter 103. Psalms, chapter 103, a great psalm. Amen. I want to talk to you today about, don't forget, God-given freedom. And we're free today because God gave it to us. And we live in a free country because God gave it to us. But we're free from the law of sin and death because God made a way for us to be free from that. Amen. Is God. In the book of Psalms, chapter 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. And he lists some of those benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are higher above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Father, I pray your blessings over the ministry of the Word of God today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at our country today and we take for granted too many times the freedoms that we've been given. But there were some people of old who have mentioned various things about this on July the 4th, 1776, Continental Congress meeting in Philadelphia, in the Pennsylvania State House, now Independence Hall, approved the Declaration of Independence. Its purpose was to set forth the principles upon which the Congress had acted 2 days earlier when it voted in favor of Richard Henry Lee's motion to declare the freedom and independence of 13 American colonies from England. And there were several other things that, you know, we were founded as a Christian nation, and we've drifted far from that now, but many years ago, Patrick Henry said this: it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank God for that. Praise the Lord. And so we were founded on freedom, that people could life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's not a scripture. But still, that's one of the great sayings of the people of old. Amen. But we have freedom today because of Jesus Christ, of course, as Christians. But freedom isn't free. In the natural, many of our freedom cost the lives of thousands of American soldiers. And we have freedom to meet here today and do what we're doing right now because God is gracious toward us. There's many countries in the world that do not have the freedom right now. They'd go to jail forever or for life for even owning a Bible, much less getting up and preaching from one or carrying one to church. Okay? But we have freedom today, and we meet for worship to God. Worship God today. Freedom to preach and sing the songs of Zion and to sing about a better country and a better land. Praise the Lord that God has planned for us, and God has a place prepared for his people, an eternal place. But spiritually, it cost the natural life of the Son of God, Christ. He died for our freedom from sin, that we might not be captives forever by sinful things, and that we wouldn't have to suffer eternally in payment for our sins, but yet we could be set free. And Jesus said, "He whom the Son set free is free indeed." And he said in another place, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Praise God. And through Christ, we have eternal freedom from sin, its consequences, eventually freedom from the sin nature we were born with, into a perfect heaven and a perfect life and a perfect new heaven and new earth. That's yet to happen, praise God. As you know, it's not right now, but it's going to. Praise the Lord. So let's not forget our God-given freedom. And we look to the psalm here, and I believe it will help us. Let's look, first of all, God forgives all our iniquities. You say, well, I hadn't been that bad or done that bad. Yes, you have. I answered it for you and myself. But we were without any means by which we could be made right with our Creator unless Jesus came. And here the writer says that, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, do not forget His benefits. First of all, who forgives all our iniquities. And so by Christ, we are made free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 1 tells us there that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, freedom from the law of sin and death is made possible by Christ. Forgiveness also accompanies true repentance. You don't hear much about repentance today, but we should hear it. Because you see, when a person is convicted of their sin, it requires them to say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I know that I've sinned against God, and I know that I need forgiveness. And God graciously, wondrously forgives. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice the condition there. If we confess our sins, that means that God expects us to come to acknowledge our sins and our need for forgiveness. Okay, because sin offends God. God hadn't changed at all. He hadn't become more with age. He hadn't become more permissive with age. God still hates sin. You say, well, what sin is it? He hates all sin. I don't care what you name it, what name you get it, or what you may put around it. Sin is sin to God, and God knows all things. And so God wants His people to be free from it, and God wants His people to be forgiven of all our iniquities. And I'm glad that He does, because that's the only means by which we can be forgiven, as if the Creator created a means by which we could be forgiven. In the Old Testament, through blood sacrifices under the law of Moses, it happened, and people, if you read through the Old Testament, you'll find that people were killing animals continually. Because blood had to be shed to atone for sin, the life of an innocent substitute had to be shed in order that there could be forgiveness or sin paid for. And so they were continually killing sacrifices. You think about it. How many times have you failed God and you had to kill an animal every time you did? Man. It wouldn't be very many living things, would there? Man. But of course, all this was fulfilled in the New Testament, because it said, for the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Because there is only one sinless sacrifice that could be offered, and that would be God becoming a man and offering Himself. God offering His only begotten Son to atone for our sins. So through the blood of Jesus, not just the blood of the sacrifice, but the sacrifice had to die. And so for there to be atonement for our sins, or payment for our sins, not only did Jesus have to suffer and shed blood on the cross, but He had to shed His blood until He died. And we know that Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Now, Jesus was perfectly pure and He never sinned. He's completely sinless. But the payment for sin had to be death of an innocent substitute, which was Christ. The wages of sin is death. I'm glad that's not the end of that verse, Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And so, the wages of sin is death. And so Jesus suffered and shed His blood, died on the cross for our sins. And when He looked up to the Father and said on the cross, He spoke several things from the cross. Words of the cross, you can look it up in your Bible. many things that were said when Jesus died, but he died and he said, "Father, it is finished." And he wasn't saying, "Father, I'm so glad that the suffering is over with," but he was saying, "The plan of redemption was complete. The blood has been shed. I have died for the sins. Now atonement has been made and people can be forgiven. People can be free from all their sins. People can have all, not some, but all their iniquities forgiven." Amen. Praise God who forgives all of your iniquities, all of your sins. God didn't leave anything out. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so through the blood of a sinless sacrifice, and on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Man, spirit didn't die. His body died. Amen. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, "But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." You say, "Well, what does the setting down have to do with it?" I want to tell you something. When Jesus walked into heaven after his resurrection from the dead, his ascension back to heaven, him to sit down at the right hand of the Father meant that the work of redemption was a complete work. Amen. It's just like you. Well, it's not exactly like you, but when you get through with the job and you're tired and you sit down and say, "I'm finished with that." Well, that's not exactly the same, but Jesus had finished the work on the cross, finished whatever it took to save you from your sin, me from my sin, save us from all our sins, amen? Not just partially saved. You can't partially be saved, partially saved. I heard one person say that, you know, if you do this and do that, you might be partially saved. Nah, and you can't be partially saved more than you can sort of shoot a shotgun. So you're saved or not, praise God. So through the blood we can have salvation. And we have all run up a debt that requires payment. You see, in the righteousness and the justice of God, God just can't just overlook sin. It has to be paid for. It has to be dealt with. And it is a debt that you and I had that was impossible to pay without someone rich enough to pay it for us. And the only one rich enough to pay it for us was Christ, the Son of God. And so Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he had pure, sinless blood running through him. And so therefore, his blood is perfect blood, sinless blood to atone for our sins. It's perfect. And so God saved us. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, "But God, who is rich in mercy..." Amen. Most people in the world are interested in getting rich with money. But I'm glad that God is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And so you and I were dead people walking spiritually until God saved us. Amen. I think there was a movie named that, Dead Man Walking. I don't know if it was or not. I didn't see if it was. I don't care whether I saw it or not. But without Christ, people are dead spiritually. They may be alive physically, but they can be alive spiritually. Amen. Praise God. And so, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, God made us alive together. God saved us by his grace. Praise the Lord. His favor, unmerited favor. Psalms 103, 11 and 12 says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward us," or toward those who fear him. Aren't you glad God's mercy was great enough for you and me? Man, I had a lady tell me one time, no, she didn't tell me, she told the church in a testimony. You know, testimonies are good, most of them are. And she got up, she said, "I'm glad I just never did a bunch of sinful things like all the other people did." I wanted to say, bless your heart, you hadn't read your Bible very good, have you? But it says here that God's mercy is great. In verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Man, I mean, as far as you can go from east to west, till the west becomes the east and the east becomes west. That's how far God has taken away your sins from you. In other words, they won't be remembered against you anymore. Praise the Lord. That doesn't give you a license to go out and sin all you want to. But it does tell us that God has the plan to remove our sins. Praise God. And He forgives us of all our iniquities. Praise the Lord. And think of all the times God has forgiven you and me. He is rich in mercy. Review all the times when you've asked God forgiveness. Don't review it too much. And we're not going to have testimony service, don't worry. But all the times that you've asked for forgiveness, how many times has God refused and said, no, this is one too many times, 23 times, 24, you're out. No. God is merciful. He's rich in mercy. He's been rich for all of us. And we'll review all the times we've asked for forgiveness. God has never refused, and He never will. And what has God done with our sins? Amen. We know that He cast them as far as the east is from the west. In the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 19, He says, He will again have compassion on us, will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. In other words, God doesn't intend to bring yours up anymore. I don't know how deep the sea is. It's 6 miles deep in some places, I think, I hear. Amen. Maybe I heard wrong. Anyway, it's deep. And so God cast away our sins there. And that is, it is characteristic of God to pardon sin. And one fellow said, I have evidence that He has done it in my own case. And he said, this is ground for praise. That was a commentator. And it is a ground for praise. My friend, the reason we sing, preach, worship, and praise is because we are forgiven, pardoned for our sin. Our sin has been atoned for. Amen. God has paid the price for us. God loved you and I with a love that's beyond completely our imagination. God so loved that He gave. Amen. God demonstrated His own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. When we were the enemies of God, Jesus made a way that we could be loved and forgiven and be made a part of His kingdom. Amen. And be children of God. Beloved, now, not later, not some other time, but if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, now we're the children of God. Amen. Now the sons of God. Not later, but now. It's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. Let me tell you this. Amen. I have a friend of mine, pastored at church for a long time, still a pastor of the same church, 40 years later. I'm not trying to catch up with him. Today is 29 years that I've been here. So, but anyway. But anyway, they were singing songs about heaven in this church in Quitney, Texas. And my pastor friend there, he said, we were singing. He said it was almost like it was a rapture moment. But a lady on the front row, that was her favorite song. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. And he said, in the middle of the song, she collapsed and died right there. He said, it wasn't sad. What a way to go. Oh, I want to see Him. Amen. That really happened. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, friend. It meant everything to her that her sins were completely gone, forgiven. She was on her way to heaven. Praise God, she got to go that day. Hallelujah. Okay. Do not forget God's forgiveness of all of our iniquities. Do not forget that God heals all your diseases. Freedom. God had promised Israel when they came out of Egypt, He said, I'm not going to put any of the diseases of Egypt upon you. Matthew, Exodus 15, 26. And He announced one of His Jehovah names there, Jehovah Rapha. He said, for I am the Lord who heals you. And He said, I will not put none of the diseases of Egypt upon you, or the plagues of Egypt upon them. I want to tell you something. If you read what God did in the plagues of Egypt, you wouldn't want to be out of the favor of God. But God said that He would heal their diseases. And I believe that He did. And I think we can take that literally. And God is able to heal any of us of any kind or any type of diseases. Today, God is still able. I don't think God's lost any of His power. And there's people that will tell you, well, we just shouldn't believe in miracles today because that passed away with the apostles and during their time. No, it didn't. You know, every time, even when someone is born again of God's Spirit, that is a miracle of God. Any salvation is a miracle of God. And yet, God is also able to heal diseases and sicknesses. And you say, well, are you out of the favor of God? If God doesn't heal you? No, you're not out of the favor of God. You just keep on living and trusting Him no matter what. And your healing will last forever. One of these days, praise the Lord. And God is able to heal any of us or any type of disease or sickness today. Jesus healed people. And we know that Jesus did. Yes, He still heals people. Matthew 8, 16 and 17, when evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed. And He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. I'll tell you something, friend. When He died on that cross, He died and He suffered for our sins and all the sicknesses and pains and ailments that humanity would have. Because you see, your sickness is not necessarily caused by your personal sin or something that you've done wrong that you had, you know, I had some preacher try to preach to me like that one time. He said, you know, just sin and unbelief, the only two reasons you get sick and can't be healed. Before I got through talking to him, he said, I've had a headache all day. And I said, well, is that because of sin or unbelief? He wasn't happy with me. But so, sickness that you have is not necessarily a product of because you have sinned and you got sick. But sin or sickness is caused because of mankind's fall in the beginning and allowed sin to come in and to rob us of the blessing of God. I don't think Adam and Eve were sick in the Garden of Eden until they sinned. But God also heals today, and I know He does. I'm a product of that. Many of you are a product of God's healing. Praise the Lord. And so God is able not only to heal of sickness and infirmities, sore colds and sore throats and sore heads, God is also able to heal of anger and heal of lust and sin of all types. And God is able to heal of a sour spirit and a bitter attitude and lust and holding grudges against one another and cravings of the sinful nature. I think a lot of times we pray for healing, you know, and we need God just to come in and do some things, Lord, to heal us, God, of some emotional things there that just don't have a place in our heart. Amen. You can hold grudges against somebody if you want to, but I mean, why hold it? Why not confess it and get rid of it? Amen. So healing is for today also. Who heals all of your diseases? Man. And it is scriptural to pray for healing. Heard a preacher say one time, you hear preachers say everything. Amen. But he was reading out of James chapter 5 and he was talking about, is any of you suffering? And he's talking about praying for the sick. And he said, what this passage is saying is saying, find the best doctor you can find. Now, I'm not against that. But find the best doctor you can find. But God can heal without anybody. And the Bible tells us to pray for the sick. Amen. Now, we wouldn't be comfortable in some churches, or some churches wouldn't be comfortable you praying for the sick. I mean, why not? Man, when the Bible tells us to. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Sin can cause sickness. Yeah, it can. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Man, and you say, well, Pastor, are you through with the healing thing? No, I'm not quite through. Man, I got a little more here. Praise God. Because you see, complete healing will be when there is absence of sin in this world completely. And that's coming. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, friend, you're in for greater things. If you're living for God, you're in for greater things than you can even imagine. Man. Revelation 21, 1, you've heard it many times, you're going to hear it again. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, or the dwelling place of God, is with men. Men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Why? Because there will be no more sin. Wages of sin is death, but there will be no more dying, spiritually or physically. Nor sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain. How would you like to have a life without pain? How would you like to have a life without somebody that's being a pain? No, I think I got a little way far from the passage there. Nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. All the suffering will be a former thing in the new heaven, new earth. You see where you're headed, friend? How could anybody turn their back on a deal like that? Amen. How big can anybody say, well, I don't want to live for God. You know, I don't want to do that. Amen. Do you want eternal life or eternal death? Amen. You must make a choice. Amen. But God is so good to us. And eternal healing will help. Praise the Lord. And we'll know that one day there won't be any more pain. No more funeral homes. No more cancer wards. No more cemeteries. Man, just life. And that's all. Life. And life more abundantly. Praise God. Okay, so he heals all of our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. Let's look at that for a moment. That speaks of freedom. And many times, God no doubt has delivered us from destruction we didn't even know could have happened to us. And my brother Dennis is a Vietnam veteran. And the day he would come out, and he was in the infantry, and their job was to set up ambushes against the enemy. And there would, I'm not an army veteran by any means. If I had to do over, I'd go in the army, probably. But I don't have it to do over. They'd quit the draft when I went to sign up. But my brother was drafted, went into Vietnam, and he was in the jungles of Vietnam, and that's what he was in the infantry. Amen. And there were what they would call booby traps that would set, have a string across the path, and if you hit that string or that line, it would set off explosive and kill whoever was there. And so the last day my brother was in the jungle there, one of the soldiers behind him, and my brother was a sergeant, he grabbed him and pulled him back to the ground. And my brother said, what are you doing? And there was a string across his path that if he had hit it, it would have blown up and killed him. You see, God redeems our life from destruction. That's freedom. And that didn't happen to everybody. And some died, and many good Christian people died in that war. And they're in heaven waiting on us there. Praise God. But you see, God can redeems our life from destruction, and Jesus even cared for the dying thief that was beside him. One cursed him, the other one said, we're getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing wrong. Jesus has done nothing wrong. There was something about the man on the middle cross that was different from all the people, and there was lots of people crucified under Roman rule. This was different. And that repentant thief says, I'm getting the judgment I deserve. I'm dying. But he said, this man on the middle cross has done nothing wrong. And somehow he believed. He said, Lord, would you remember me when you come in your kingdom? Jesus said, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. I want to tell you, he was on the edge of eternal hell and suffering forever. But he's in paradise today. He's with Jesus today. He's in heaven today. Praise God. Because God redeemed his life from destruction. Praise the Lord. Let's move on here. Not only does God redeem our lives from destruction, but crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Man. And so we are guaranteed to be eternally under God's mercy, crowned with mercy that is given by God. You know, in this life, you know, their crowns are given here and there for people. And when I was a kid, we had children's church and VBS, and I was crowned the king that time. Why, I don't know, but I sat beside a girl that was a queen, and I was embarrassed to sit beside a girl, so I scooted over as far as I could away from her. When I turned 13, I scooted as close as I could. All right, I know you're going to have fun with that one. But there's a crown. It means a reward for something that's been accomplished, especially in the sports world. But let me tell you something. There's some crowns coming to believers too. And I don't think we should sit around and have competitions who's going to have the greatest crown. I tell you, if we have a crown at all, it'll be because of the grace of God. But God does give us those at the judgment seat of Christ. Rewards for the faithful service are rendered as crowns. Who crowns with loving kindness and tender mercies? Paul said at the end of his journey, he said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all who look for his appearing. Okay? And so we know that there's a reward waiting. Praise God. And also, there's an overcomer's crown. I don't want to go through all of them, just three. And in James 1, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. If you've been a Christian very long, you've endured some temptations. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. When you come to the Lord and you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you receive a crown of life because you overcame the temptation. The temptation to fade away and to fall back or to backslide, but I've stayed with this thing and God will give you a crown of life. Amen. And also there's a crown of glory. 1 Peter 5 and 4 says, when the chief shepherd, which is Christ, shall appear, that's a rapture, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. You know, all the glory of winning something in this life fades away pretty quick. But the crown of glory that God gives people, believers, that are faithful to him will not fade away. As a matter of fact, everything that God gives in eternity will not fade away. It's eternal. Praise God. Not only does God crown you with tender mercy, loving kindness, but he satisfies your mouth with good things. Amen. Good things. You're thinking about eating, I know. There's a man, angry man went into a restaurant, and he had been to every restaurant in town trying to find crabs to eat. So he walked in this restaurant, and the receptionist said, can I help you? He said, angrily, do y'all serve crabs here? She said, we serve everybody. Just have a seat over there. Boy, something tells me I should move on, okay? Who satisfies your mouth with good things. No lasting satisfaction without God. Sin never satisfies. Sin always calls for more. Sin is just never, its appetite is never quenched. It's never satisfied. Sin isn't. So our world proves that as it just keeps on sinning. But the wages of sin is death. It's not good in the end. But earthly possessions don't satisfy. And I'm told that those who win big and stuff, like gambling or in the lottery, that usually if they win a big lottery, before too long, all that money's gone, usually spent on sinful and foolish things. It doesn't last very long. My friend, we're going to receive a crown of glory that doesn't fade away, and God's going to satisfy us with good things. And only God can give good things. And the Bible says he's a source of good things. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, which there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, no chance of turning anyway. God is eternal. God has given the gift of eternal life. God has given the gift of His Holy Spirit. God has given the gift of hope and love and grace and life. And God has given the hope of a heaven where there's nothing wrong and no bad neighbors or no bad anything in heaven. I'll tell you what, you can't lose if you go with Jesus. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Amen. He can satisfy the soul. And without relationship with Christ, there is never anything that satisfies a soul. But God satisfies us with good things, because I'm telling you, you can have a relationship with God. You can walk and talk with God. You can sense His Spirit and know that you're born again of God's Spirit, that you're not a child of the devil, but you're a child of God headed for eternal glory. Amen. He's not got worse or bad things prepared for you. God has got good things prepared for you. God has got eternal things prepared for you. You stay with it. You walk with God. You live for Him. Don't let discouragement, pride, or despair rob you of what God has in store for you eternally. Amen. Not only did He satisfy us, but He renews. And it's mentioned here as He renews you as the eagle. Amen. I've got some things written down here about the eagle. Page and a half. I don't have to say all this, do I? Okay. But an eagle is a remarkable bird. I've been around some birds that weren't too remarkable. But eagles are the most long-living bird in the world. And they're expected to live up to 70 years. But after about 40 years, their claws will age and start to lose their effectiveness and make it hard for them to catch prey. And if you're tempted to fool with the eagle, let me just tell you this. The grip of their talons is 6 times the strength of a human hand. If you want to fight with one, they might pick you up and carry you off. Okay? But at about 40 years of age, the eagle's beak is too long and curvy that it reaches to the chest, its wings full and long, thick feathers, too heavy for easy flying. The eagle's left with 2 choices, do nothing and awaits its death, or go through a painful period of transformation and renewal. For 150 days, it first trains itself to fly beyond the high mountains, to build and live in a nest, and cease all flying activity, and then begins to knock its beak against the granite rocks till it completely breaks off. And then a new beak is grown. And the eagle awaits its removal of its old claws and awaits quietly for new ones to be fully grown. And when the new claws are fully grown, the eagle will use them to remove all its feathers. One by one, 5 months later, when its new feathers are fully grown, it will soar again into the skies with renewed strength and is able to live for the next 30 years. That's something that God created. Amen. But yet God has provided eternal life for you and I. And when we're born again and we keep being renewed by God's Spirit day after day, amen, it'll last forever. And we'll soar into the presence of God one day and be His forever. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings or soar on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, because we've got an eternal place awaiting for us, because God is good all the time. Don't forget God-given freedom. He loves, He cares, He wants you to be free. He cares for you. Amen.